One expert says new domestic drilling will only slow the end of oil. This is the Environment Report. I'm Lester Graham. Both presidential candidates support opening up more areas to drilling for gas and oil. The idea is it'll mean cheaper gas at the pump sometime in the future. Roger Blanchard at Lake Superior State University has written on domestic oil supplies. Let's say we open all offshore areas. We open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. We open the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska, and we drill, baby, drill. What happens?
It would slow the rate of decline for U.S. oil production in the future, but I would not expect it to cause a large increase in U.S. oil production.
All right, but doesn't more domestic drilling mean more oil for us?
Americans aren't aware of this, but there has been a lot of acreage opened up in the last 15 years in the United States, particularly in the deepwater Gulf of Mexico and in northern Alaska. And every year, U.S. production has declined. And from 2000 to 2007, it declined about 760,000 barrels a day.
So the domestic oil wells peak pretty fast, and then they start pumping less and less each year. I guess another point that's not often talked about is just because you can drill there doesn't mean there's oil there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's Roger Blanchard with Lake Superior State University. Thanks much.
No problem.
This is the Environment Report. So a friend of mine put up a message on Facebook saying she was celebrating that she'd found gasoline for $2.25 a gallon. Yeah, gas prices are down, but when we were paying $4 a gallon like 2 months ago, car sharing programs got a little more popular. That's where you can sign up with a company and pay a per hour, per mile charge for a car. This one car sharing project stepped it up a bit because it made it possible for its members to do errands without burning an ounce of gas. Stephanie Hemphill has a story on a nonprofit group called Our Car that converted two Toyota Priuses to run on battery power and then charges those batteries with the sun.
At the Mississippi Market Food Co-op in St. Paul, there's a brand new solar panel on the roof. The electricity goes to an outlet and it's plugged into the back end of a Prius.
The battery is installed in the spare tire wheel hub.
Chris Dufferin is taking me for a spin in the Prius.
You just unplug the plug back here. Power up.
The computer screen on the dashboard displays data on the most recent trip.
There's the trip I just took to South Minneapolis for a meeting. We went 18 miles round trip. We got 94.8 miles per gallon on that trip.
That's good mileage.
It's not bad. It's not bad. But yeah, with our plug-in, we often get up in the 90s, and at times we're running over 100 miles per gallon.
These vehicles get about twice the mileage of a standard Prius. There's still an engine in the front, and it kicks in when you accelerate quickly, but the primary power is delivered by the battery. Chris Dufferin heads up the project that runs Our Car.
You can get some trips in this car where you are literally emitting no carbon.
But making the conversion wasn't cheap. It cost about $10,000 to add the battery, and the solar panels cost about $18,000.
What we're trying to do is demonstrate that when those prices start coming down, this is something people can do. And not just for themselves, but if they actually share a car and share those costs, then this can become a really efficient, clean way of traveling.
Solar-powered cars. That's just too cool. That's the Environment Report. I'm Lester Graham.
Support comes from the Joyce Foundation and the USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Help us spread the word. Tell your friends to come check us out at environmentreport.org. The Environment Report comes from the University of Michigan.